It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. It's the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, and it is Tuesday, the 23rd of May. May God be with you. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, 24, and Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Eternal Father, loving Lord, we thank you for this time to come together and to have worship. And now as we open up your word, we ask that you would bless us by anointing the words of our pastor, filling him with your spirit, and always helping us to grow in grace and wisdom. We pray these things knowing you have heard us this morning. For it is in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Yes, it is about time, my brothers and sisters, and it's time now for us to begin worshiping the Lord together. Our topic is the power of church tradition, the power of church tradition. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we open the Word of God, we just thank you so much for the power of the Holy Spirit. As we stay in the Word and we stay humble and prayerful, the Spirit guides us into all truth according to John 16:13. We pray that you will bless us today as we open the Word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, we read Acts chapter 10 yesterday. And in Acts chapter 10, we learned that when the sheet was let down while Peter was in a vision with all types of beasts, four-footed beasts and creeping things, unclean meats, in other words, that when God says, rise, kill and eat, and Peter said, not so, Lord, that he said, I have not eaten that which is common or unclean. And then God says, why call that which I have made clean unclean, basically. And Peter didn't know what it meant in verse 17. And then in verse 28 of Acts 10, he explained what it meant. He said, God has showed me not to call any man common or unclean. Now, the powerful thing is that they had been with Jesus. They saw Jesus give the gospel to the Samaritan woman. They saw Jesus give the gospel through healing and accepting of him the centurion, which was the same thing that Cornelius was. Cornelius was a centurion of the Italian band. They saw Jesus go to heal the son of a centurion. And the centurion said, I have not seen so great faith, no, not in Israel. So the point being made, brothers and sisters, is they had the example, but yet the power of church tradition. The church tradition taught that the gospel only was supposed to go to the Jews. Now, we need to recognize, brothers and sisters, that might not be your tradition. That might not be your church's tradition, but your church might have some. Now, guess what? There's nothing wrong with tradition. Tradition, we're exercising a tradition when we get up every morning and worship God together. That's our tradition. That's something that we do over and over again. It's just what we do. The problem is when tradition goes against the Word of God, that's what we'll look at today, that we have a problem with. And because it's church tradition and it was taught to us by the pastor, by the elder, by the conference, by the general conference, by the Pope, by the cardinals, by the board of deacons, whatever, whoever, you know, by the president of the Mormon church, whatever your church is, church affiliation is, we need to make sure that we're in line with Jesus and in line with the scriptures. So in the next chapter, because church tradition is so powerful, we're going to see Peter reiterate this and make it so clear, yet people use this sheet let down from the sky to justify the eating of pigs and possums and lizards and llamas, my brothers and sisters. No, that's not what it was saying, and we're going to see that, but it will show you. And even though you would think that they would be happy that people would get the gospel, we're going to see that they had a problem with it because of the power of church tradition. We need to make sure that everything we believe and everything we teach is in harmony with the thus saith the Lord. We have various traditions. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, some of us believe that there's only one organization that is God's church. And that's so interesting because if you look in history, you will find that there was rarely just one. I'll say it that way. In the patriarchal phase, you see, there are seven phases. You might want to write this down. There are seven phases to church history. And some of them, you know, when you say history, you always think of the past. Church existence, seven phases. In the great controversy, okay, you have the heavenly phase, okay? The heavenly phase was the only time there was only one organization, which was the Church of the Living God. The God the Father, God the Son, and all the holy angels that followed him. Of course, Lucifer rebelled against that church. And then there was the Edenic phase, okay? And in the Edenic phase, the church came to earth. You had Adam and Eve. And so let me just say, I guess you could say that's a family. So that would still be one organization. That was God's church, my friends. That was God's church on earth. Who else would it be? It was the church within Eden. That's where they worshiped. That's where God met with them. That's why it was nothing for God to come down and meet with them in the cool of the day. It's just that when they had sinned and they knew they were naked, you see, they hid from him. So that was it. Now, after that, you don't see any single organizations. The patriarchal phase, every family and the father of every family was the head of the church. So God had several organizations, several entities, but they were all part of his church. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, God's church was not just one organization. Okay, the patriarchal phase. So you have the heavenly phase, the Edenic phase, the patriarchal phase. Okay, so God wanted to give through the patriarchs the gospel, so he or the knowledge that Jesus was coming. So of course, you know, the serpent was given that statement that I would put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And so that the Bible says in Galatians 3 that the seed is Christ. All right, and so that promise was given. So they passed that down. And God was saying, okay, I've got to have a people now to come together to introduce Christ to the world. So he chose the Jewish nation because they're from the seed of Abraham. And so then you have the Jewish church, which, of course, God had to pull out of Egypt. Okay? Well, it wasn't too long after, if you just keep following that as they develop this Jewish nation, eventually Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, continued to oppress the people the way Solomon did. So God said he's going to rend the kingdom, and he gave it to Jeroboam, 10 tribes, and Rehoboam retained 2 tribes. You had 2 organizations, brothers and sisters. Both of them were God's church. You had a northern kingdom, which had the 10 tribes. You had the southern kingdom, which had Judah and Benjamin. There you have it, friends. So the Jewish phase, you have the heavenly phase, the Edenic phase, the patriarchal phase. In the patriarchal phase, there were several organizations because every family was an organization. And now you're in the Jewish phase, and you see it wasn't long after that God had the northern kingdom, which was the kingdom of Israel, and the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. All right? Then you move on. I'm just talking about a church tradition that some of you all have heard, that there's only one church that's the remnant. I'm talking about one organization that comprises the remnant. I'm here to tell you that just look at history. It was very rarely one organization. So you see the Jewish, you see the patriarchal phase had more than one. You see the Jewish phase had more than one. And that's why God dealt with them the way he did. You had people like Ahab in the northern kingdom. And you had generally they went into apostasy more rapidly than the Jewish, than the kingdom of Judah. But God judged both of them. And this is how you'll know it. You'll like this, friend. See, many people have left what we understand to be truth about the Sabbath and so on and so forth. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. And I will tell you that one of the reasons, one of the evidences that they use when we talk about prophecy, see, you have to, if you want to know what truth is, you really have to understand the heavenly sanctuary. You have to. We haven't studied that in depth, but we have. We've gone through Hebrews at one point. But you have to accept the heavenly sanctuary because Jesus is there. And so what those who reject the heavenly sanctuary say is that when the Bible says in, Daniel 8:14, it says, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And then we understand that is interpreted and understood by the day-year principle. So what those who leave that message say is that, well, that whole day-year principle falls apart. And I'm going to tell you what they attack. They attack Ezekiel 4. Well, we use Ezekiel 4 and Numbers 12 to show. Numbers 12:14 says, I give you one day as a year. Ezekiel 4:6, one day as a year. But then they ask the question, well, guess what? How do we know explain Ezekiel 4. Because Ezekiel had to lay on his left side for 390 days. And they taught us, and they said, what does that mean? Then he had to lay on his right side for 40 days. What does that mean? And most people don't know what it means. And so then they say, see, you're calling this a scripture that points to the day-year principle, but what is the fulfillment? Now, we know the fulfillment of Numbers 14:12. The spies went into, for 40 days, they went into Jerusalem. I'm sorry, they went and spied out the land, and God says, okay, that's the number of years that, because you complained, that you're going to be in the wilderness each day for a year. So they spent 40 days spying out the land. They would have to wander in the wilderness 40 years. You see, it was only 11 days' journey from Egypt, Goshen, where they were, Egypt, into the promised land. But if they had gone straight there, they didn't have the faith at that time, because they needed to have that faith grow. They weren't ready to face the giants that they would have faced if they had gone directly into Canaan. So God had them go another way to build their faith, but then when they complained, he said, okay, it's going to be another 40 years. Well, guess what, brothers and sisters? We do know what Ezekiel 4 says and what it means. And for those of you who are interested, let me see if I can get you the dates, because it may interest you. Everybody may not be interested, but if I can find it, I will. I have it in my notes. Let me see if I can find it. Okay. You all might remember I told you about how Rehoboam wanted to oppress the people, and how when he oppressed the people, God split the kingdom. Well, guess who he gave the 10 tribes to? He gave it to a man named Jeroboam. Jeroboam was godly at first, but after that, you see, they still had to come down to the southern kingdom to worship during the feast days, three times a year. This is a sidebar. We don't keep the feast today, my brothers and sisters, because the Bible tells us that it was nailed to the cross in Colossians, that the phrase used is respect of an holy day. Don't let anybody judge you in respect of an holy day. Now, a lot of people think that that holy day represents the seventh-day Sabbath, but it says, which are a shadow of things to come. You know, the shadow comes from the light behind you, and it casts a shadow. If there's light behind me, it casts a shadow. And a shadow, if you're in the right position, you can see a person coming around the corner if the light is behind them. Now, those on Facebook, I don't know if you can see it, but I can see the shadow of my hand. So I can be just right, and you can't see my hand, but you see the shadow of my hand, so you know that the hand is coming, and now you see the hand, okay? So the point is that a shadow was to represent something coming, but the seventh-day Sabbath represented something in the past. We keep the Sabbath because it is the sign that God is the creator. That's what the Bible says in Genesis 2. It says he rested because he had created the world. And in the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, it says, why do we keep it? For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Now, what's so special about him making heaven and earth? You can't be saved unless he makes you all over again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, David said. Create in me. You hear what I'm saying? Create in me a clean heart. The Sabbath is a sign that God is your God. So why would you worship another way and turn your back on the actual symbol that he's your Savior? That's why he told Ezekiel in Ezekiel 36:26. That was Psalm 51, where it says a new heart. I'm sorry, created me a clean heart, Psalm 51:10. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart. Well, if it's new, it's got to be created. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. You know, we like new cars because they just got created, so to speak. They just came off the line. You know, we want it brand new. You see, so the Sabbath was the sign, the weekly Sabbath was the sign that we would be saved by a creator who would make us new. Because he died on Calvary, we have pardon. Because he rose from the grave, we have power. And because he's coming again, we have presence. We talked about that yesterday. Okay? Power, pardon, power, and presence is what the Bible promises in the gospel. That's why when people say you don't have to be perfect, they're denying the gospel, because Jesus said, be ye also perfect. Now, we don't walk around and say, I am Shalom Fleming, the perfect one. No, but you can overcome any sin, brothers and sisters. There's no sin you can't overcome, and that's what the world is teaching. That's what Sunday churches are teaching. That's what Sabbath-keeping churches are now teaching, brothers and sisters. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. The Bible gives us victory. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so, my brothers and sisters, this is the truth that I'm sharing with you today. So, that being said, Jeroboam decided that during the feast days when they had to keep them because it wasn't nailed to the cross, he decided that, oh, man, if they keep going down there, they're going to leave me and I'm going to lose my kingdom. Instead of trusting in God who gave him the kingdom, he decided he was going to make idols and gods and say, these be your gods, Israel. You don't have to go down there. And the Bible says if you do a little search, type in the phrase Jeroboam or even who made Israel to sin. It's over and over and over. This is the son of Jeroboam who made Israel to sin. These are the days of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. And it might talk about it, who made Israel to sin. Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. Jeroboam's legacy is that he brought in the greatest apostasy to the kingdom of Israel. Remember, there's 10 tribes at the northern and 2 tribes at the southern. So the times of Jeroboam was evil. Now, when you go back to Ezekiel 4, what I will tell you, we don't have time to go there, but what I will tell you is that he had to make a scaled model, like a little model, and it was on tiles, and he had to put Jerusalem in there, and he had to besiege Jerusalem with armies, okay? That's what he had to do, and he had to lay on his left side for 390 days, showing that, it's clear in Ezekiel that he was demonstrating the years that they would have to bear their iniquity. That means that they would have 390 years before God would destroy Jerusalem because of Israel's sin. Then he had to lay on his right side and for 40 days, 40 more days, describing the time that they would bear, that Judah would bear his iniquity. That means it would be 40 years before Jerusalem would be destroyed again. Well, did it happen? Absolutely, brothers and sisters. We now know that it was in 974 B.C., that Jeroboam did what Jeroboam did. And if you count 390 years from 974 BC, you actually have 584 BC. What happened in 584 BC? Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed Jerusalem and took captives. That's why we have the story of Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. That is 390 years after Jeroboam caused Israel to sin. The prophecy is intact, brothers and sisters. You just didn't know about it because we just don't teach it. Guess what? What was Judah's great sin? Well, Judah's great sin was killing Christ. That was primarily Judah that did that. The kingdom of Judah is the scribes and the Pharisees, okay? And the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that they made that decision when Lazarus was raised from the dead. That was in A.D. 30, not 31. Jesus died in A.D. 31. But if you study John chapter 11, brothers and sisters, you will read that when Lazarus was raised from the dead, that I think it was the high priest, he said, it is expedient for one man to die than that the whole nation perish, meaning that, he's raising people from the dead. We got to kill him. And at that time, they began to plot to kill Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, you learn even from our modern legal system, you can go to jail for conspiracy to commit murder even if the person never died. Many a man has hired a hitman to kill his wife. Many a woman has hired a hitman to kill her husband. Thankfully, sometimes they hire undercover agents and they end up going to jail for conspiracy to commit murder, even though the murder never happened. So they conspired to murder Jesus in A.D. 30. If you count from A.D. 30 and you count 40 years, brothers and sisters, you end up with A.D. 70, and that is when Jerusalem was destroyed by Titus, the Roman general. And so Ezekiel 4:6 is valid. And I'm just here to tell you, friends, that all truth that God has given us is still valid. We might not always understand it, but we should follow it. So the day your principle does stand, therefore, in 1844, Jesus did go from the holy place to the most holy place. And no one can now say that, oh, Ezekiel 4:6 is a hoax, because we can't explain it. We can explain it, brothers and sisters. And so we're talking about that introduction to church tradition because we need to recognize there might be some traditions that we have and that we've accepted, and that we need to recognize that we need to make sure and at this time test everything we believe by the Word of God. All right, brothers and sisters, and the apostles were in Acts 11, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the Word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, Now, watch this. The Gentiles have received the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, and people, church tradition, were upset about it. Church tradition. I was in the city of Joppa praying. Now, Peter's going to give you the whole story all over again. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even unto me. Upon the which, when I had fasted mine eyes, I considered, fastened mine eyes, I considered, and saw four-footed beasts on the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. He gives the story again. And the Spirit begged me to go with them. Now, interesting, brothers and sisters, there were three men knocking at the door, and the sheet came down three times. That's a significant thing. Go with this one, go with this one, and go with that one. All three of them are all right with me, God is trying to tell him. Go with them. And he showed me how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him. So now he's talking about he's at Cornelius' house. Let me go with verse 12. This is Acts 11. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You see, here's the point. If we would look at Jesus, if we would keep our eyes on Jesus, all our church traditions would go away. Okay? Jesus, remember how we talked about the church tradition of it's got to be one organization? Jesus didn't submit to that organization. Now, he didn't try to, he tried to save them. He tried to teach them. He tried to say, hey, I'm here. I'm the Messiah. But they murdered him, brothers and sisters. And Jesus could not use them. So he had to use 12 men, and they were not part of that organization. And guess what? Another organization was being started. It had no name. It wasn't even named until we'll learn about it in this chapter. It wasn't even named, brothers and sisters. I think it's in this chapter. But the bottom line is that God chose people. So what I'm trying to tell you is if you just look at the life of Christ, you would see that some of our church tradition, You got to stay here. You got to do this. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how bad it gets, this is the only place that God accepts as worship. It's not what Jesus did, brothers and sisters. He came unto his own received him not. Study Mark chapter Where is it? Is it where it says he ordained 12? I think it's Mark 3:14. Mark 3:14. He's ordaining preachers for another church. Okay? So people say, well, he always stayed within this. No. He was ordaining preachers for another church. And if you read from a wonderful book called Acts of the Apostles, it's on page 18. It says this was the first step that Jesus had made in organizing a new church by ordaining preachers. Okay? So it's not true what we have as church tradition. Now, I'm not saying that you're wrong for going to any church. I'm just simply saying that we have a church tradition that is often among us that you've got to stay born a Baptist, die a Baptist. Born a Catholic, die a Catholic. That's church tradition. Born a Methodist, die a Methodist. You know, born in the General Conference, die in the General Conference. Okay? That's church tradition, brothers and sisters. That is what it is, and that's all of what it is, and you won't see. So Peter reminded them Jesus didn't do it this way. He said, you know, it wasn't until that man told me that an angel came that I remember what Jesus said. If we would just remember what Jesus said, it would help melt off all these traditions that we have among us, brothers and sisters. Notice verse 17, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Now, I want to remember the Holy Ghost fell on them in Acts 10, and they started speaking in tongues. We've already gone through that. Tongue speaking, go to Acts chapter 2, was languages. And I did an entire sermon. Contact me if you want a link to it, where I showed you that the tongue speaking in 1 Corinthians 14 is exactly the same as what's in Acts 2. It is not any different. And one of the powerful scriptures that people mess up is verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. See, Peter prayed in the spirit. He prayed with gibberish and an unknown tongue. But they forget to read the next verse. He said, basically, I don't pray that way. He said, I pray with my understanding, okay? So Peter, that word if, people miss that. He said, if I did this. And he was basically saying, he said, if I do this, what is it? As if to say, what's that? I mean, if I start praying, I don't even understand what I'm praying. What's that? That's what he's saying. And then the next verse, he said, I don't pray that way. I pray understanding what I'm saying. And so you would only pray to God. So if it was in an unknown tongue, that means, yeah, you would not understand what it was if you prayed in an unknown tongue. But when you talk in an unknown tongue among other people, that is supposed to be a language. It's not given today because it's not needed today. We've got interpreters. We have people that can fly all over the country. But if it became necessary, God would lay that on us again, because it is one of the gifts of the Spirit. So my brothers and sisters, this emotional type of worship that keeps us from digging deep into the Word of God because we feel a sense of euphoria because we've been filled with the Spirit, that is not of God, my friend. Tongue speaking, where you see it in the Pentecostal churches, full gospel Baptist churches, and some of these other churches, and now even sometimes in Adventist churches, this speaking in tongues type stuff, that is not of God, friends. The speaking in tongues was the gift of languages when it was needed to spread the gospel. That's what it was. I just want to remind you of that, because they did speak in tongues when that gift fell on them. All right, and when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God. See, these are people that are open to hearing the word of God in truth, and they were saying, okay, yes, you've shown us that this is the way of the Lord. Saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Jesus had already told him that. He showed the woman, I am he. I that speak unto thee am he. He let her know the Messiah is in your presence. Okay? Why would he do that? So she could accept him as her Savior. But they just hard-headed. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. See, church tradition is still hard on them. But now this is a wonderful verse, brothers and sisters, because there's a prophecy, that same prophecy. Remember that 2,300-day prophecy? It had a 70-week prophecy, and we always say that at the end of 70 weeks, the gospel would go to the Gentiles. Here's your proof text. the stoning of Stephen. It says they were scattered abroad after the stoning of Stephen. Okay, so there's your proof text. That's why we say that we haven't gone into it, but that prophecy tells you the year that Jesus was baptized, A.D. 27. It gives us the year that he would die, A.D. 31, and that prophecy gives us the year that the probation of the Jews was over and the gospel would go to the Gentiles. That is the stoning of Stephen. In verse 19 says it. I'll read it again. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch. Okay, so it the gospel would start going out. Now, of course, at first they were only preaching it unto the Jews, but that gets corrected because Saul became Paul. Okay, but it still showed that, you know, that they got spread abroad. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, again, the church was in Jerusalem. It was the people who followed the truth, who submitted themselves to the word of God and were accountable one to another. That is what a church is. It doesn't even have to have a name, brothers and sisters. It's good to have a name, and you'll see that they were about to have a name. Watch this. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost, talking about Barnabas here, and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So now they've got a name. They're called Christians because they're like Christ. Brothers and sisters, a Christian should be like Christ. Now, we know that the Roman Catholic Church took over the Christian church and brought in paganism and symbols. They brought in Sunday worship because that they wanted to get a lot of money into the church, and they did. That's why you have St. Peter's Basilica. That's why a large part of the wealth of the world is in the Vatican today. But what they did was they knew that the pagans had the money, and so they had to bring in paganism. So they said, if you come in, just bring your traditions, your occult practices and demon practices with you, and we're going to Christianize them. Well, they believed in worshiping the bodies of the sky. So they worship on the first day of the week, the sun. So that's where we get the name Sunday, okay? Then on the second day of the week, they worship the moon. That's why we got Monday. And on the seventh day of the week, they worship Saturn. That's why we have Saturday. And when you know a little bit of Spanish, I think Wednesday is miércoles. That's Mercury. And when you know what Tuesday and Thursday are, you'll see the phonetic sounds in Spanish of the various planets. One is Jupiter and Mars. I think one of them is Martes. And that's Mars, okay? So the days of the week came from the bodies of the sky, but they worshiped these gods. And so the beginning of the week was they wanted to give honor to their greatest god, which was the sun. And so they worshiped the sun on the first day of the week. So what the Catholic Church said was, listen, just come on in. We're just going to change the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. But you'll be worshiping God. You just do it on Sunday, you see. Well, the Bible tells us to remember the seventh day. So when you worship on Sunday, you're actually worshiping on a day that was created by the Roman Catholic Church in honor of the sun god of the pagans. I'm just telling you the truth so you know the truth. Why? Because the Bible says the truth sets us free. Okay, you shall know the truth, John 8:32, and the truth shall set you free. That's why, brothers and sisters, they make it very clear that Sunday is their mark of authority. We don't have time to go there, but I will tell you that the Bible teaches that they are the beast of Revelation 13:1-10, and the mark of the beast would therefore be Sunday worship when it's enforced by law. Because when you study the prophecy, it's forced on us by law, okay? Sunday worship, forced by law. And the Sabbath worship being prohibited. That's what we look forward to. Now, some people will say, well, I'll just wait till the law comes. Brothers and sisters, you know, there's something called preparation. If you don't have a preparation, you're not going to do it when the law comes. Okay, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not going to happen when the law comes. When the law comes, you know, it's not going to be popular at all. God's people have been persecuted, told that these people were worse than terrorists. They were been persecuted much, much more than the Jewish Holocaust, much, much more than people who died in slavery. God's people during the Dark Ages, when Roman Catholicism kind of ruled the nations, people were killed just because they taught the children, their children, the Lord's Prayer in English. It was very hard. That's why it's called dark, because they suppressed the Bible. So we need to be preparing now and obeying now and worshiping God in his holy time now that he set aside to worship him. All right. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judah. You see, that's what church does. You have a problem, that especially those who are spreading the gospel, we know about the problem. We collectively help and try to help the brethren. That's what church is all about, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Okay, my brothers and sisters, that is our message for today. I'm going to go ahead and have our intermission song, and I'll be back, because what I have to share in the health message is going to be called Every Disease Has a Cause. I have some wonderful things to read to you from Scripture and a couple of quotes. It's not going to take that long. So let's take a little break for our intermission with the Torso song at this time.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and beautiful. stop. Being hampered, this is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Amen. Our health topic is every disease has a cause. We start in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, and it says, as the bird by wandering, and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Now, what does that mean? The bird started at point A and it flew or wandered from point A to point B. God is saying, just as you can follow the trajectory of that bird, you, if we get sick, we can follow the trajectory of how we got there. So in other words, it's telling us that there was a cause, there's a path that can be traced. We can look at our lifestyle, our ways of eating and drinking and dressing and working and the, you know, the toxins that we allow in and so on and so forth. And so should we just, after we get sick, just take drug medication? You know, I heard somebody say, well, I think we're always going to need some chemicals. And I'm not saying that there's no place for drugs at all. I'm just simply saying, I think that person was saying it's a good thing when you have a chronic disease to take a drug. And I will just simply say, I don't think you're going to find a pharmacy in the Garden of Eden unless it was spelled F-A-R-M-A-C-Y, like a farm, F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. You know, God gave the herb of the field. The bottom line, it says in Job 29:16, I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. So when we understand that every disease has a cause, now the Bible says, search for it. Look at your lifestyle. Are you eating right, drinking right, going to bed on time, getting exercise, getting sunlight, trusting in God? That's the solution to our health problems, my brothers and sisters. I want to read a couple of quotes, and then we'll open the phone lines briefly. It says in Ministry of Healing, a beautiful book, on page 234, disease never comes without a cause. The way is prepared and disease invited by disregard of the laws of health. Many suffer in consequence of the transgression of their parents. While they are not responsible for what their parents have done, it is nevertheless their duty to ascertain what are and what are not violations of the laws of health. They should avoid the wrong habits of their parents and by correct living place themselves in better conditions. Goes on, the greater number, however, suffer because of their own wrong course of action. They disregard the principles of health by their habits of eating, drinking, dressing, and working. Their transgression of nature's laws produces the sure result. And when sickness comes upon them, many do not credit their suffering to the true cause, but murmur against God because of their affliction. But God is not responsible for the suffering that follows disregard of natural law. That's our health message for today. Every disease has a cause. Roll call time on Facebook. We have South Carolina. We have Virginia. We have Missouri. We have, not sure where Sister D is from. We have Georgia. We have North Carolina. And then on the call, we actually have, Ohio. We have Illinois. We have Alabama. Praise God. There's two in a row that are on Central Time. They got up at 5 o'clock to hear the worship and wellness broadcast. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. We like to say Delaware is well aware. Amen. And then we have Georgia. A couple of comments. So, friends, it's about 4 or 5 minutes, 6 minutes to the top of the hour to be exact. There's plenty of time. That's for six people to talk for 1 minute. If you have something you'd like to say, please press *6. I'll read the comments on Facebook. We have a good morning, everyone, from Salida. We have in line with Jesus, amen, from Sister Valencia. We have amen, good luck, brethren, from Sister Vicky. We've got good morning, Pastor Shellam and Sister Maria from Brother Peyton there. God bless you. If there is anyone on Facebook, on the call, just press *6 if you'd like to share anything. We've got about 5 minutes to the top of the hour. God has been good to us, my brothers and sisters. We continue to accept our reassignment and you know, look at how we can more efficiently get the work done, doing medical missionary work, training medical missionaries, spreading the gospel. All right, we've got Sister Desiree on the line. We'll take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning. I just wanted to say good morning to everyone and happy Tuesday. And also asking for prayer for myself for more of the Holy Spirit and power that I follow through. You know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, that I have greater follow through. And I'm asking for prayer for, I'm coming up on finishing this course that I'm taking, and I'll be taking a national exam, so I'm asking for prayer as well.
Amen, amen, amen. And Sister Vicky wanted to, in her own way, let us know, you know how sometimes when you're typing on your phone or your computer, it thinks it knows what you're typing. So she wasn't saying good luck, brethren. She was saying good morning, brethren. Praise God for that. Amen, amen, amen. All right. God bless you, and thank you for that, Claire. I thought it was some typo, but I just read what was there. All right. We're going to go now to Sister Donna. Good morning. God bless you this morning.
Good morning, and God bless you all as well and everyone on the line. I just wanted to request prayer for my daughter, who's back in the hospital again. So if we could just keep her lifted up in prayer, I would have really appreciated it. Thank you, everyone, and have a blessed day.
Amen. Amen. Definitely will keep your daughter in prayer. All right, friends, God is good. And we wish you a happy, want to let you all know, if you'd like to be supportive of this ministry, you can do so on our website. There's a donate button. You can also write to us at Torso Ministry, Post Office Box 208, Curtisville, Pennsylvania, 15032. You can use, if you want to contact us, some people like the convenience of Zelle and Cash App. It will be transferred properly, and you'll get a tax write-off if you in other words, we do send tax receipts at the beginning of the following year, as is customary. So if you'd like to be supportive of this ministry, please feel free to do so. We don't get any check from anybody. We do what we do based on the gifts of others and the services that we are able to offer. May God bless you. Thank you. And if you would like to receive these messages on WhatsApp, just let me know, contact me. You have to download WhatsApp, and then we would be sending you links to these messages every day by the grace of God. All right. The Lord is good, and we are going to have our closing prayer by my wife, Undreamed Of, at this time. She may not be available, so I'll go ahead and have our closing prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. We thank you for the health message that is connected with the gospel. We want to ask that you would be with Sister Desiree. She's about to take a course right now, a test right now. And we just pray that she'll continue to be led and guided by your spirit, and that you will be with her even in this test that she's taking. And whatever else she needs, Father, we've asked that you would provide, for she is your daughter. Your other daughter, Sister Donna, has asked for prayer specifically for her daughter who is in the hospital. We pray that you will please heal her, Father. You can heal no matter what the condition is, if it's physical, mental, or spiritual, and or all of the above, you are able to heal. So we thank you very much for the great healing power of God. We just give you glory, honor, and praise on this day. May you be with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time now for us to have our closing song after our final salutation, which says, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God will open ways before us. Now, undreamed of, God bless you. Closing song, I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord.
That was sung by the Master's Chorale, as was our opening song, God Be With You Today.